lot of times, you know, when you're a teenager and you leave your hometown, you're like, I don't want to ever go back there, and you found it was boring. But then as you grow up and mature, you find out what value there is.
Welcome to Home Starts Here, a podcast from the South Dakota State University Extension Community Vitality Team. We seek out the individuals, businesses, and ideas that are sparking vibrant communities across South Dakota. We sit down with rural change makers, striving to understand their place in the local ecosystem.
When you're from a rural area and have grown up living the Western lifestyle, it can feel like the only way to follow a passion drastically different than the one you grew up in is to leave. And this can be true sometimes. But what if you were able to bring your passion back to your hometown? How could life experience, trials and tribulations, and exposure to the world be brought back to the place that made you you? Today we meet with Sunny Hannum of Fort Pierce, South Dakota, an incredible woman who discovered that while she loved the ranching lifestyle she grew up in, she also had a deep passion for ballet, and she was great at it. As you listen to Sunny's story, consider the way she paired her passion with work ethic to propel herself literally around the world doing what she loved. How she allowed chance encounters and situations to draw her back home, and the way she harnessed grit, resiliency, and faith in herself to bring herself back to her hometown and find a way to create Hosanna Dance Studio, a business where she and her team teach students and share their form of art with their community.
Hello, my name is Joshua Hofer. I'm a Community Vitality Field Specialist with the South Dakota State University Extension. I am joined here by colleague and fellow Community Vitality Field Specialist from her Watertown office, Kara Harders. Today we're joined by Sunny Hannum. Sunny, thank you so much for joining us today. Could you tell us a bit about yourself?
I can. I'm locally born and raised on a ranch southwest of Fort Pierce, about 14 miles. I am a niece of the famous Casey Tibbs. I graduated from high school here in Fort Pierce, and after studying dance for 4 years locally, I went to the University of Utah. I was in both the ballet and the modern departments. I was able to do performances there with them, but my heart was in becoming a professional dancer, and it wasn't going to happen there. In the summer, I had gone to study at Jacobs Pillow University of the Dance in Lee, Massachusetts for 2 years. I was on scholarship the second year, and there I got to see every style of dance in the world with companies from all over the world. It was very inspiring. So the third summer after graduation, my former dance teacher from Pierce took me to New York with her to a teacher's training at a place called Academy of Ballet, National Academy of Ballet, under the direction of Thalia Mara. She had a company and she had an academic school as well as a ballet school, like they do in Russia. So I stayed there for 2 years studying with her. I was apprenticed to her company that first summer and performed with them, but they didn't have the money to continue performing. So I left Ballet Repertory, that was the name of the company, and auditioned for Radio City Music Hall. People do not know that Radio City Music Hall back in the 60s, and before that even, had a ballet company as well as the Rockettes. I was in the ballet company, and they would do a ballet based on every movie. And I'm thinking that maybe the first movie that I did a ballet for there was Dr. Zhivago. And it seems like we did Strauss waltzes, which fits that theme. And so I was at Radio City not that long because we danced 4 or 5 times a day. We did performed and we weren't always properly warmed up. I developed an injury to my foot, keeping me from dancing on point. And so I left, and while I was convalescing, recovering from the injury, I auditioned for a famous ballet company that was reorganizing and going back to Europe, and it was Ballet Russe de Monte Carlo. And the director, Leonid Messine, liked me, and I was hired. And so in August, I left New York City on a ship, and I think it was the SS Rafaela. And we sailed to the Riviera, and we went up along the coast of Italy to get to the Riviera. We stopped in one of the war-torn towns. It was Naples, I believe, and it still had all the evidences of the war. And then we went on up to the Riviera. So we opened in Monte Carlo. We danced for Princess Grace and Prince Rainier. And after several months there, they gave us a break. We had an option to come back to New York or stay there for a spring season. They did the spring season. I did not stay for it. I went back to New York because my rancher dad in South Dakota was worried that I was giving up my country. I mean, it wasn't that long after World War II, you know. So I went back to New York and began auditioning for... I did audition for other ballet companies. Ballet companies like to hire teenagers for their core. And even though I looked like a teenager, I was getting to the age where I needed to maybe branch off into musicals and Broadway musicals. And I had been studying acting and singing the whole time I was in New York. And so I began to go that direction, and I did one Broadway show and several Broadway shows that were in, like, on tour that went out of New York, places like Florida and Cleveland, areas like that. And so, and I also did off-Broadway reviews and that kind of thing. So as all the time I was there, I was studying dance and voice and music. I had even studied, yes, piano. So honing my skills. And then I had decided, I had been auditioning for leading parts in Broadway shows, wasn't landing one. So a friend of mine wanted me to go to Japan and audition over there. And so I had a plane ticket to go to Japan. I had a friend in Japan. Stopped in South Dakota to help my parents, who had sold their ranch. I think it was 1971. Get my years straight. Long about 1971. I helped them move, and while I was here, we had a get-together from my uncle at a local restaurant. He was filming, I think it was Born to Buck, and a young man was at the get-together who had a ranch out west of Fort Pierre, who was having a birthday, and I was having a birthday too. We celebrated our birthdays together. I ended up cashing in my ticket to Japan, and by the end of the summer, we were married.
Wow!
So that's how I got back to South Dakota. I hadn't planned on staying here, yeah. But it was just good to be home. It was good to be back where I had grown up. A lot of times, you know, when you're a teenager and you leave your hometown, you're like, I don't want to ever go back there, and you found it was boring. But then when, as you grow up and mature, you find out what value there is in that hometown. So
absolutely. So your story is amazing. And what was it like being a ranch kid or a ranch girl and realizing that you had this deep passion for something as artistic and refined and delicate as ballet?
Yeah, it was a passion. It wouldn't let go of me. I just had to do it. And I was a very determined person, a very perfectionist. You have to be kind of a perfectionist to do ballet, and an achiever. You know, I just worked very hard at whatever I did. And so it was, it just took me, you know, I was just, but it was good to get back to ranch work again mm-hmm. when I did come back.
I bet.
But I kind of mixed it up with dance. I didn't leave dance behind. When I came back, I was instantly whatever there was to be choreographed, a local show, or I choreographed the first Nutcracker for the studio I had studied in, other shows that different theater groups did. And so I got back involved in dance. I didn't start teaching until my husband and I bought a ranch further west, close to Rapid City. And then I began to teach in the little rural community. And I had ranch kids, sometimes boys in their jeans, but they didn't have any dance clothes, so they wore their blue jeans. I would make them take their boots off, but they danced in their socks. So
that's yeah. Amazing. That's so cool.
And at one time, we were rebuilding. We had a partnership, and we split our ranch up, and we were rebuilding and we were living in an Airstream, and I would do a class out on the hillside holding onto the barbed wire fence. And I had a bucket calf that would run over and want his bottle when I was doing my ballet bar.
It's a distraction I bet most dancers don't get to have.
Yeah, here's his cat and wanted his bottle. Yeah.
So like living in, so you lived for extended periods in different places, even some on the West Coast, I think, eventually.
Yes,
right?
we lost our ranch in the 80s. We had to sell it. The interest rates were over 20%.
Oh my goodness.
You weren't alone.
We had gone from cattle to buffalo. Mm-hmm. We had 4,000 head of buffalo. And when we split up our partnership, he took the buffalo. We couldn't both have them because they won't stay apart. Mm-hmm. You know, they would have been together. So he took the buffalo and we were running cattle on lease. And so we sold our ranch. Finally, we got what we asked for it, but it just paid off the debt. That's all. And we went to California and went to work for cattle cutting training operation that was owned by a friend from Australia. And I did teach dance there in a local community center. So I kept at the teaching a little bit all along the way.
What was different about trying to find home, like in some of those places, versus like, what is there anything that strikes you from like New York City to Europe to California to South Dakota? What was different in your experiences of trying to find home?
I would say I never really felt it that I was at home in Europe, even though I was living with other dancers. You know, to me the people were the home. Finding home. I guess home is where your heart is, and if you're liking what you're doing, that's home. But my marriage fell apart in California, and I did come back to South Dakota, and that was really home. And came back in the winter. It was freezing cold, and I left California when it was really warm, and I think my blood just kind of congealed when I got here.
I know what you mean with the places that you're in not necessarily feeling like home. For a long part of my life, I don't think I lived anywhere for more than 2 years, and it's hard to, it's not that you don't like places, but it doesn't feel, nothing feels permanent after a little while when you just move so much. And yeah, you kind of get home and you take a breath and you're like, the air smells right here. This is what it's supposed to be like.
Yeah, this feels good. Mm-hmm.
So when you did move back to Fort Pierre area for the, what is hopefully the final time, what was that like coming back and kind of, were you planning to stay at that point, or did you realize you wanted to stay?
I did not know for sure, but then when I got here, I thought, it's just good to be here and not there. Mm-hmm. And so I found a couple jobs here. I was an arts coordinator for the chamber or the Short Grass Arts Council, and worked in publication layout for a shopper here in town. And so I began to think about, what did I want to do with the rest of my life? I began to plan to go back to college and finish the degree I never finished before.
What was your degree going to be in?
It was going to be in dance therapy.
Okay.
And so I looked into going to a school in Colorado, and they had discontinued their dance therapy program. Huh. And so then I looked at Black Hills State University, and because of skills in writing and that kind of thing, I ended up going there back to college in 89, I believe, to get a degree in tourism.
Okay.
And marketing, tourism marketing. I got a minor in journalism and worked for different newspapers in the Northern Hills owned by Seton Publishing while I was out there as a reporter and feature writer and, salesperson.
Another thing I didn't know you did. You've done it all, Sunny.
Yeah, I've written for quite a bit for newspaper. I ended up here in Pierre, eventually went to work for the state government. It was a little more secure and you could build your retirement.
Right.
And I was working for them for 9 years, Department of Public Safety, and wanted to get out. And Dave had the job over here. He was advertising for an office manager. And I had just moved from Pierre back to Fort Pierre and rented a home out in the country, and they were only going to hire someone that lived over here because someone who was a native, had been born here.
Okay.
So I just fit their, what they needed, And so I went to work for him in June 2015.
Okay.
And been here ever since. I didn't leave again. And what about the dance studio? Well, in 2000, I had opened a dance studio in Fort Pierre. I wanted to open a dance studio in my hometown. I didn't want to put it across the river. There were already three over there. And I just felt like, you know, I needed to put it in my hometown. They needed more arts over here, I really thought, more of the arts. And so I got a loan and rented a building down here on Main Street. So I renovated it and went to teaching dance. Well, then I locked it up and went to New York with a reunion get together with two gals that I had been in a Broadway show with. So I had a reunion with them and then came back and started teaching dance. And I had a lot of students right at the get-go for just opening, you know, a right. studio. I had been teaching here ever since I came back in 94. And I just needed a graded program where I could work kids through all the levels. So I needed my own studio. And so I began teaching there in 2000. And then in 2011, along came the Missouri River flood. And we had to move out. And they were expecting 3 feet of water in Main Street. And that would have been inside the studio. And so we loaded everything, the mirrors, everything, bars. We stored them. And started looking for a place to teach in Pierre. And we ended up at the Y for a year with our dance program, and that really wasn't ideal. And so we started looking for another spot. We found an old Oddfellows Lodge. We used it for, I think we were there 5 years. And I had, before I moved out over here in 2011 because of the flood, I had walked by this building. This is an old bank building built in 1910, and the upper floor was a Masonic lodge. And my mother used to come to Eastern Star here, so I'm sure I had been in this space. But I knew that it had some huge rooms, a lot of space, which we were lacking in Pierre. You just walked in the door and you were in the dance studio. And I asked the owner at that time if he would rent it to me, and he said he couldn't because he was using the stairwell for storage. Well, not only that, but the walls were out and the windows were out, plumbing and the electric, all that would have had to been redone. I did not know that until later. So we stayed over in Pierre for the 5 years, and then on New Year's Day, he showed us the space and we could see it needed a lot of work. And then we began to try to find a way to pay for the rent. Well, we couldn't figure it out. And in the meantime, he had another person start renovating the place. And I used to walk by the door and go, "No, Lord, that's supposed to be our dance studio. You know that."
Mine.
And the guy, for some reason, he gave up the idea. He didn't finish. And so the owner of the building, who has the store downstairs, he walked into the Fort Pierre Development Office where I work. He would work out a deal with me if I would do the renovations, if I could get a loan to do the renovations, we could have a space, and then eventually we would pay off however much we put into it, used up in rent. You know, we wouldn't be paying him rent, we'd be paying the bank for the loan. So we formed a partnership then, I think about May, and we got the loan and we began working on the space and got it finished.
I've noticed you've mentioned once you stopped kind of your professional traveling dancing career, every stop along the way has included, "And I started teaching dance," and "I taught dance here."
Yeah,
I
did.
And I don't want to put words in your mouth, but it sounds like you have a passion for working with kids as well as just dancing. And do you think those two go together, or are they pretty separate?
You know, they're kind of connected in a way. And by the way, I paid my way in college when I started teaching dance. I took over a dance studio and
started early.
Yeah, I took over a dance studio and ran it for 2 years to pay my expenses at college, and then also worked in newspaper. But I think the thing with kids is I like to instill that passion in them for dance. And I used to, you know, be more of a performer even when I was teaching, but I've gotten to be more of an observer and just a whole different approach to teaching rather than dancing, because a professional dancer doesn't always make a good teacher.
Absolutely not.
And it takes so much patience. And I'll tell you, ballet is tough, and it takes a lot of discipline, a lot of self-discipline to get really good at it.
We talk about, in some of our other programs, we look at things that people, especially if they're looking to move to a small community, if they have children, like the values or the things that they're looking for in their community change because they're thinking about their children as well. And I think it's amazing that you've brought this creative learning opportunity to all these places that really, like you said, how would you know that you wanted to dance if you never got the opportunity to dance?
Right.
And so, I mean, obviously, if you had never gotten to go see it, your life probably would have gone in a different direction.
I think also that our studio is unique. I came out of the closet and really became a Christian ballet studio. Went to Ballet Magnifica myself to study at the Christian Ballet School down there with a student. And I was back there a few times and hey, we're going to be a Christian studio. So we do a lot of worship dance, you know, parents, especially homeschooled parents like. So I think that's a certain aspect that they don't get in other kinds of dance. Of course, we're primarily a ballet studio, but we also teach modern. My partners are really good at modern and acro dance instruction. But the kids that go to other dance studios in the area are not going to learn how to act and do pantomime because that's what story productions are like. We do the storybook productions. We've done Frozen twice. We've done, they're not always biblical. We've done Lion King, the lion ones. We've done Narnia a couple times. That we call it the lion, the witch, and the wardrobe.
Did you get to use the same suit, same costume for the lion in both productions?
Kind of. Actually, my partner Josh has been the lion both times. He's a big guy. He went from a scrawny little teenager because him and his sister started as adults studying with me, and then they eventually went on to teaching and being in the shows. So yeah, they've done a lot of shows with me. Yeah, we use the same lion, and then back in when we did Oz, we called it Follow the Yellow Brick Road. We had a different lion then. He's gone on to other exploits. In fact, when we had to move out because of the 2011 flood, we were getting Peter Pan ready, and we called it I'll Fly Away. Because you can't use the Disney title for things, you know, because it's copyrighted. So we called it I'll Fly Away, and we flew away from Fort Pierre because of the flood. But we came back, yeah.
It strikes me that you've had, like, two lives almost. Like, the one, like, your South Dakota benchmark points, and then things that came between. And it makes sense to me that because you were in, essentially, like, an artist or gig mentality, you know, like, theater folks and ballet folks, you take the next job, like you're looking for the next job. I'm curious, did South Dakota, like what was your experience coming back? Was it difficult to come out of that like gig mentality? I'm sure I would guess you're very adaptable because you've been in so many different environments. Right.
Dancers have to be flexible.
Right, yes. And so what was it like coming back here each time? Did it change for you each time or what?
As I grew.
Yeah.
I always had goals, you know, it was goals to have a dance studio here. When I came back and it was no longer had ranching, I had a great longing in my heart to return to the ranch. Would have probably stayed on the ranch if, you know, we hadn't maxed out our capacity to stay there financially. So I miss that. I miss the ranch life, getting on a horse and going out there and gathering cattle, and I could whip up a meal for 12 cowboys and still ride and still bring the meal to the branding, you know, and it was exciting. So I did miss that, but it was almost like, well, not doing that anymore. And dance always was a great outlet spiritually and mentally and physically. And so when I came back here, it always fit in. I was always in demand. You know, somebody wanted me to teach their classes for them, take over their classes at the Y or wherever. So I was channeled back into the dance world, and I served as a dance representative on South Dakota State's Arts Council, Black Hills Dance Theater, Dance Network of South Dakota, all of those. I was either an officer or founding member of some of them. You know, I was always found. The people seemed to find me, so I was always kind of drawn back into it. So I didn't find it hard to jump back and forth from ranching to dancing, you know, kind of. Mm-hmm. They were both part of me, you know. I was first and above all a cowgirl, and then I became a ballet dancer.
So I know we've got classes and programs that are centered around small businesses, and it's, I think sometimes when a person hasn't done it before, it seems like a daunting task to start.
Yeah.
And you sound like you've picked up and built a dance business everywhere you go. And what is I guess, how do you do it? What makes that work and what makes you desire to keep doing it?
Mm-hmm. Well, the one dance studio in Spearfish was offered to me by the person who owned it. So that one I didn't have to start, so it was already established. The other places I taught, I didn't really establish a studio. I was in a program, either a Y program or that. But then when I decided I had to have my own dance studio here in Fort Pierre in 2000, Y2K, that was the year. I was going to return to New York for the first time. I was going to open my own dance studio, and I was 60 years old. So it wasn't like a young person coming back to their own town. But in lots of ways, some of the, you know, I just learned a lot by being away, and I learned the value of my hometown. But I went about it right. I trained while I was out in California. I had trained in a business training program, advertising and business, also at Black Hills State. So I knew you had to have a marketing plan, a business plan. Mm-hmm. And I went to Small Business Administration, trying to think of the lady's name. She's still with them. She helped me write a marketing plan, business plan. And so I had a business plan. And so have I followed it? Pretty much. Technology keeps increasing, so now everything's online. You know, our registration is online, and I do QuickBooks, of course, to manage my books. I used to do it by hand in the ledger. Everything's progress. You have to be adaptable to change, and had to adapt with the different studios. So you just have to be adaptable, keep up with the whatever the trends are, but establish your program and your plan. And we are trained in the Cicchetti Ballet method, and we are leaving tomorrow to go brush up on that method, and we're certified in that method. So that is probably the oldest established classical ballet method in existence that has been documented, so people can actually study it. You need to have goals and then stick to your goals, and sometimes you have to adjust them a little bit. You have to be flexible.
Like all things. Maybe that should be the title of your book. Just flexible.
Be flexible.
Physically, mentally, emotionally.
Absolutely. Yeah. And then COVID, you know, that hit us in 2020. And everybody was going to Zoom this and Zoom that. Have you ever tried to teach dance classes by Zoom to little 3 and 4 year olds and 5 and 6 year olds? Mm. They're sitting down in the living room eating a sandwich while you're trying to show them how to dance. It doesn't work without somebody in the room. So, but we recovered as a studio. We're still going. We did this last year. We did Sleeping Beauty, classical ballet.
Any advice for folks? We do talk to folks that are doing renovating buildings and establishing businesses around the state. You've certainly had your blood, sweat, and tears in this place.
Yep, with old buildings, because I renovated the other old building in Fort Pierre. Uh-huh. I love old buildings, and I think it's because in New York, where I studied, dance studios were always in older buildings, and they were always on upper levels, you know, not normally down on the street. Advice is just to get your quotes, you know, get your contractors lined up, people who you can trust. You know, you might want more than one quote to see who will give you the best deal. Get your quotes and go to work. Let them go to work. We did a lot of the work ourselves. So we did the painting where it really needed it the most, because there was a lot of leakage, stainage. But yeah, you just have to, get your contractors. If you're going to do some of the work yourself, you just have to jump in and go to work and just be persistent. We moved in before our sheetrock guy had cleaned up all the dust from the sheetrock, and he didn't want us to move in. And I said, we have to, because we're already out of the other place. We had started classes over there, but I didn't want to pay two rents. And so we moved in before it was totally cleaned up, and I think we did the cleaning ourselves. I would just say, get a plan and stick to it. Make your adjustments as you need to with the renovations. Like I said, we did electrical. We had an electrical contractor, a plumbing contractor, who also was in the Fort Pierre Development Board. So anytime something went wrong, he was quick to come up and fix it.
You knew where he was.
I knew where he was. The floor work, some of it we did, some of it we hired out. Just find good people. Be persistent and put in your own sweat equity. A lot of sweat equity we did. Mm-hmm. Literally 110 degrees and down here, heating up the floor, the glue on the floor with a 2,000 temperature heat gun.
Oh, dear.
And yeah, that would be my advice, I guess. Yeah. But find what is ideal for your business. This was ideal for a dance studio. We have two big rooms. We have the entrance. We have room for our parents to hang out, which was real important to us. And dressing room space. Yeah. So find the space that, you know, and visualize what it would look like if you got it all fixed up and then go to it.
Yeah. It's great advice.
So after going through the renovations and everything like this and coming back and making a building that's in your hometown usable and new and giving life to your community, do you have any advice for people who maybe want to come back and start a business in their own community or younger people who are looking to get into this? Maybe people who've never left the first time.
In the first place.
Yeah. Do you have any advice for them?
Yes. Don't be afraid to try it. And you'd be surprised at how many people are willing to help. Just help you get started. There are loans out there, business loans. I think through Grow South Dakota, through SBA, Rural Development, Economic Development. There are loans out there to help with that and direction that you can get. But just have the courage to do it. I think my first thought, the first time I borrowed money, I only borrowed $10,000 for renovating the first building. And this second time we borrowed $50,000. The first time I was like, will I ever be able to pay that back? Mm-hmm. Well, I did in very short time. And you will, you know, you'd be surprised at how easy, I wouldn't say easy, you have to work hard, whatever business you're going to start. So yeah, people will be willing to support you in your hometown. I think that's a given.
Yeah, you're building a business, and that's always scary and dangerous probably, but you're doing it in the place where there's more people than anywhere else in the world that want to help you and want you to succeed. So it makes sense to come back and do it in your home.
Yeah, and if you do fail, try again. You know, success comes from persistence, just being persistent.
And you can't learn if you don't try it at all. So
right.
You always learn.
You learn from your mistakes.
So, Sunny, where can folks find either information if they're interested in maybe contacting you or interested in your dance studio or maybe even finding out more about what you're doing with the Fort Pierre Development Corporation?
Okay. Well, the dance studio has a Facebook page. My partner is more or less a social influencer. He's really good at keeping information on Facebook. And it would be at Hosanna Dance. We also have a website that has our current calendar, our dance class schedule, and that's hosannadance.blogspot.com. So those two locations for Hosanna Dance, and then for Fort Pierre Development, we have fortpierredevelopmentcorp.com for our website. Mm-hmm. And we also have a Facebook page.
That's great. Well, thank you so much, Sunny. We really appreciate you joining us today and welcoming us into your beautiful building. And I'd encourage everyone to, if you're interested in Sunny's work, to find her online or in person in Fort Pierre. And thank you again so much for collaborating with us.
Thank you, Sunny.
Thank
you. A wonderful story.
Thank you, guys.
Home Starts Here is a podcast production by the South Dakota State University Extension Community Vitality Team. We look forward to releasing future episodes for you, and if you want to learn more about our programs focusing on creating vibrant places, energizing leaders, and strengthening businesses, visit our website today at extension.sdstate.edu/community.